Tonight, when you came to this gospel meeting, did you come walking in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit? Did you? Did you walk into this meeting tonight in a state of carnality? Did you? You see, the very first walk in the Spirit which our Lord Jesus Christ walked after He was anointed for ministry was to the battle of temptation, to spiritual warfare. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 says, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tested by the devil." 40 days, non-stop. Beloved people, the very first encounter, and indeed it was a head-on encounter, that our Lord Jesus Christ had in His earthly ministry was with the devil. And the Bible says that Christ came away from that encounter in victory. In victory. Luke 4:14 says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of Him throughout all the region." Our Lord went out into the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit, and He returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you come to this meeting tonight in the power of the Holy Spirit? Or how did you come tonight? You came unprepared. But when you walk in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, you are never, ever unprepared. You see, beloved people, the Christian life that is led by God the Holy Spirit is not a life being led to a church picnic or to some church religion or to a religious club. It is a life being led to the cross through hand-to-hand combat in battle. When the great apostle Paul wrote that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, those words "we wrestle" in the Greek are very, very clear. They imply hand-to-hand, face-to-face encounter with the devil. Have you had an encounter with the devil today? But let me say this to you, we do not go into this battle alone. We go with someone who has been there before. In all of my years of experience in this particular field, I have never, ever gone into a battle alone. I have always gone with the Lord Jesus Christ, who has gone before me into this battle. You see, when we are saved, when we are redeemed, when we are washed in the blood, we are liberated from the prison of spiritual death and from deception and from domination and disobedience. And as born of God Christians, we are lifted to reign in the life by one Christ Jesus, as Romans 5:17 says. God hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Did you sit in the heavenlies today? Did you? And did you? And you see, once we are lifted up from the devil's place and safely seated in Christ's place, we are to give the devil no place. Ephesians 4:27 says, "Neither give place to the devil." Did you give place to the devil today? Did you? Did you? Did you? You see, Satan gains ground in the spiritual battle by infiltrating our thoughts. You see, the mind becomes the basic battleground, and our minds can be compared to our major airports where planes come and go continually. And each plane must have permission for landing and for takeoff. And a thought that approaches the mind is like a plane approaching for a landing. And it cannot land without permission. And the will is the control tower from which you give thoughts landing rights or landing refusals. In simple language, the control tower of the will. And from that control tower, we either receive the thought or we refuse it. And a sinful thought that is allowed landing rights becomes an entertained thought. And then an entertained thought becomes a practiced thought. And a practiced thought give Satan a place of operation in your life. Let me ask you tonight on the authority of the Word of God, has your mind been this very day an airport for satanic thought and you gave them landing rights? You allowed your will, the control tower, to let them land. But beloved people, if you are truly a born of God Christian, you can radio back from your will that permission to land is denied. Have you this very day denied the landing of satanic thoughts? Or have you entertained the satanic thoughts and allowed those satanic thoughts landing rights? For sure, if you denied the thought, the landing right, it may circle again and try to come back for landing. It may even come back camouflaged, but it's the same thought. But if you are truly a born of God Christian, and the words of Paul, the great apostle, are a reality to you, those words which he wrote to the church at Philippi, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, you can refuse the landing of any thought which is of Satan. Do you have the mind of Christ? However, if the devil has gained a place, the Bible calls that a stronghold. 2 Corinthians 10:4 through 6 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Beloved, the welcome thought becomes a habit, and the practiced habit becomes a stronghold. And when this happens, those thoughts in the area of the strongholds get refueled in flight. Now in this gospel meeting tonight, the battle lines are drawn, because not only are we who are born of God Christians defensively equipped in Christ to give the devil no place, we are offensively equipped to drive the devil from his place. And our instructions are clear from the Word of God. Be strong in the Lord, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Be strong in the Lord. I want to ask you tonight on the authority of the Word of God, are you strong in the Lord? Are you? Are you? Are you? Christ said that the gates of hell could not prevail against the offensive advance of the church. But I wonder tonight if you could be classified as a spiritual streaker. Are you a spiritual streaker? You see, putting on the whole armor of God involves the total appropriation of Christ. And the instructions in Romans 13:14 are, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." I want to tell you tonight, on the authority of the Word of God, our armor is not something, but someone, Jesus Christ. Please allow me to say that so little of Christ is put on that some people wear only a helmet of salvation, and they are spiritual streakers. No wonder they seldom come to public worship. They are embarrassed to show up. Nor is it any wonder that many professing Christians are embarrassed to call on others to share the good news. They are so scantily clothed spiritually that they are afraid to be seen as a Christian. Now, beloved, the greatest news I could ever tell you in this gospel meeting tonight is that we appropriate the person of Christ in salvation by faith. We appropriate the power of Christ the Holy Spirit by faith, and we appropriate the protection of Christ, the armor of God, by faith. And every part of Christ is ours when every part of us is Christ's. Do you belong to Christ? Do you? Be very careful how you answer that. Now, while Satan is many things, he is foremost an actor, appearing at times even as an angel of light. And he frequently appears through people. And don't be surprised whom he might attack you through. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, one of the easily executed tricks of Satan today is to upset one person. That is, one person in the church. And then he gets someone upset with the person who is upset. And he continues by getting someone upset with the person who is upset with the person who is upset. Satan can upset a whole church. Has he used you today? You see, when someone around you is upset, you should get upset only with the devil. Why? Because Satan begins to play his major role as an accuser. He has won the Academy Award many times for it. His major role is an accuser. Now, beloved, it's very important to know the difference between God's convicting voice and Satan's accusing one. And when you are on your knees in prayer, and you on your knees in prayer, and you on your knees in prayer, what voice do you hear? You see, we have a built-in receiving set to hear the still small voice of God. But did you know that Satan can speak to us on that same wavelength that God uses? Did you know that? Christ said, "The sheep hear my voice, and they are known by me," he said. Does Christ know you? Do you know him? What about you? Do you know him? Do you know him? You see, there have been many sincere Christians who, thinking it was God convicting them, have been hassled and harangued for years by the voice of the accuser. Let me give you an illustration. This man was a deacon in a church. He was the secretary of the church. We were holding a crusade in that major city. And I watched that man for the first couple of weeks of the meetings, a four-week crusade. And then finally the pastor came to me and he said, "I have reservations about this man." And I was staying with a dear brother who had spent some years in New Guinea and knew what spiritual warfare was all about. The pastor was an inexperienced man. He had not any idea of spiritual warfare. But another brother who went through college with me happened to work in that major city as a mines engineer. And he too knew about spiritual warfare. And one Saturday morning after we had prayed and fasted, we decided to test that man. And after 2.5 hours, we discovered that Satan had control of his life. And all the bile and all the muck that was in him was vomited up. All over a nice carpet, by the way, which we had to get steam cleaned. He'd heard the wrong voice. Thought he was a Christian. How do you know you're a Christian? You're not real sure, are you? If you had to stand up in a courtroom tonight and give evidence, what would be your evidence? Let me illustrate what I mean by giving you three examples. Firstly, God always convicts in specifics. He is light and he is truth. Satan accuses primarily in broad generalities. Secondly, God convicts redemptively. Satan accuses destructively. God may convict generally at times to get our attention, then he will always be specific. Thirdly, Satan occasionally accuses in specifics if he can get you to listen about a sin already forgiven. Now let me tell you from the Word of God how to dethrone the enemy. Every one of us is born of God Christians, can overcome the devil, because we are indwelt by the overcomer, Christ himself. 1 John 4:4 says, "Ye are born of God, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And even the most immature child of God has the power of Christ within him or her to overcome. I want to ask you tonight, on the authority of the Word of God, who resides in you? Christ or the devil? In you. Christ or the devil? You. Christ or the devil? Let me give you three basic principles tonight of appropriating the indwelling power of Christ to overcome the enemy. And they're recorded in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now the first principle is, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. I want to ask you tonight, are you under the blood of the Lamb? Are you at this moment under the blood of the Lamb? How do you know you're under the blood of the Lamb? One of the questions I ask in the deliverance room is of the demon. Are you under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you under the blood of the Lamb? Are you cleansed by the blood of the Lamb? Or is there sin in your life? Unconfessed sin. Perhaps if you're a husband, something you've never told your wife. If you're a wife, something you should have told your husband. Perhaps something way back there in your past has never been cleansed and forgiven. And you're still holding on to that sin. You're not under the blood until you confess that sin as a Christian. And then principle number two is, by the word of their testimony. What kind of a testimony have you got? You see, our testimony before Satan is just as important as our testimony before anyone else. If I took you into the deliverance room tonight and the demons were playing up, would the demons say to you tonight, cleansed? Would they? I took someone into the deliverance room once who no longer comes to this church. And the demon was very vocal. And the demon said, someone here tonight is not cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. Fancy hearing that from a demon. That person wasn't cleansed either, because that person left the church and that person's wife begged that person to ring me and to talk to me, and I spent 3 hours with that man in my study, and that man was not cleansed of sin. He broke down and wept and wept. Have you got a testimony tonight, or is there unconfessed sin in your life? You see, we have the right to say, if we're cleansed before Christ, we have the right to say, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take authority and I command you to get off my Heavenly Father's property. Now, principle number three, they loved not their lives unto death. If tonight there was an electric chair here, and within 5 minutes you were to be placed in it, would you too make confessions like he did? Oh, you may not have killed in the physical sense, but you've killed in the spirit world. You've killed in the thought world. Supposing the electric chair was awaiting you tonight, what kind of confession would you make? Or let me put it to you this way, supposing the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came in the flesh, was to walk into this church tonight, what kind of confession would you make? Would you make? And would you make? And would you make? You see, the God-given instinct in most of us is to live, but Satan takes one of God's instincts and frightens us about dying. And could it be that in this gospel meeting tonight, you are lost? You are without hope and without Christ. I don't care whether you've been baptized or you've joined the church. What I am concerned about tonight more than anything else, are you truly born of God? Could it also be that you are a backslidden, professing Christian, and Satan accuses you day by day and night by night because of unconfessed sin in your life? Our most powerful weapon in liberating the lost and backslidden of this world is prayer. And many of us are praying for you right now. When I was on the road as an evangelist, every night that I stood up to preach, there were 2,500 people plus praying for me while I preached. And many of them are still praying for me, and they are praying for me tonight. Let me say this tonight in this gospel meeting, you can be born of God. You can be truly born of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight you can be restored to the Lord Jesus Christ through confession of sin and through total renunciation of the devil. But where are you right now? I'm going to pray a prayer. It's a very direct prayer. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came in the flesh to put to naught the works of Satan, I pray right now that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ will so shine into the darkened cavities where Satan has had a field day. And Heavenly Father, I pray right now that that light will so expose that unconfessed sin, that entertained thought, whether it be the lust of the mind or the lust of the flesh. Heavenly Father, I pray now that the light will expose the darkness so that God the Holy Spirit can now bring convicting power, convicting of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And our Father, dare any of us this night lie to you, a holy and a righteous God. But rather may we this very night come and kneel in true repentance before our Lord Christ and acknowledge and confess to Him that we have sinned against Him. O God our Father, we pray right now that the Holy Spirit will do His work and glorify Christ in our midst. Amen. This is a moment when you can truly repent. We'll sing the hymn 204. We pray that your mercy and your grace will go with us now and be with us always. Amen. Verse 1 in the chorus of Our Servant, Risen Savior.